to get back to this story about trauma, Tegan, because as a result of the attack in the Assyrian church and the previous, a few days earlier, the terrible attack in the Bondi Junction Mall, lots of people were traumatized, not just people who were in the mall, people who lived nearby, but I think it also had an impact on the national psyche. And in some people, that trauma would have been on top of previous trauma and really disrupting people's lives. Now, there is help available for people who find that trauma is affecting their lives and affecting them psychologically. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy with a trauma focus. They've done a review of the evidence of this, and it does work. And the person who led the review was Anke de Haan, who's a postdoctoral research fellow at Ruhr University in Bochum in Germany. But the research she did was conducted at the University of Cambridge.
There's no typical story, really. They experienced either an accidental trauma, for example, a road traffic accident or natural disaster, or an interpersonal trauma, for example, sexual assault, physical violence, or war. And they experienced this trauma either once or several times. And some of them might also have experienced different types of trauma once or several times. So their stories are all very different.
But not everybody who experiences trauma ends up with a mental health issue.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It's true. Not everyone who experiences a trauma has a mental health issue. And some have mental health issues in the beginning, but then their symptoms subside in the first days and weeks after the event. We call this natural recovery. But then some experience ongoing trauma-related symptoms, and these symptoms can be very different. Even for two people that were exposed to the same traumatic experience, are the same age, come from a similar background, etc. And the symptoms can be related to post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, obsessive-compulsive disorder, conduct disorder, substance abuse disorder, anything really. And often young people meet criteria for more than one disorder. For example, they meet criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder and depression. And we sometimes see a combination of internalizing and externalizing problems. So some show aggressive behavior and low mood. And in addition to that, traumatic experience often have negative impacts on their relationships with family, friends, school or work. But then again, the areas of life impacted by the trauma can be very different from young person to young person.
Given that the picture is so complex, it makes the decision about what treatment is right for that person incredibly complicated too.
We do have good evidence for CBT with a trauma focus for a variety of disorders. So actually, we're kind of in a good place to treat this complex picture.
So what happens in CBT with a trauma focus, cognitive behavioral therapy with a trauma focus, compared to, say, standard cognitive behavioral therapy for, say, depression, which is probably the commonest use of it?
In general, both have a similar structure and apply the same techniques, but CBT with a trauma focus links the treatment components to the traumatic experience. And what is unique is the part where a trauma narrative is created. And the trauma narrative includes the whole traumatic experience described in detail, either in written or verbal form or as art. So some young people create a comic, for example. And the trauma narrative helps to organize the trauma memories, because sometimes the memories of what happened are very disorganized and it needs work to put everything together. And the trauma narrative is also a way to confront oneself with the trauma and learn step by step that one is strong enough to deal with it. One final really important point about the trauma narrative is that it often uncovers dysfunctional beliefs about the trauma itself or its consequences, which then can be evaluated and challenged with the help of the therapist. And sometimes creating this trauma narrative is not enough, but it's also really important to confront situations, places, and people that the patient had avoided since the traumatic event.
Can you give me an example of where you might have misplaced beliefs?
For example, children, yeah, sometimes they blame themselves for the traumatic event, but it wasn't their fault at all. So, for example, they were in the car with their parents and then an accident happened. And then they said, oh, it was my fault because I was too loud or because I was asking a question, but it was not their fault at all. And there are other things with sexual abuse, for example. We often see the case that children or also young people blame themselves and say, like, I wore the wrong dress or my dress was too short. And then they blame themselves. So it's really important to challenge those beliefs and make sure that they have a clear picture of what happened.
In some senses, when I hear this description of trauma therapy, it's a bit like desensitization when you've got a phobia. In other words, there's something in your life that you're really scared of. Mm-hmm. The therapy kind of makes you confront it, like fear of spiders or fear of flying, that sort of thing. I'm not trying to trivialize trauma, but by confronting it, it helps you deal with it.
Totally true. No, it's kind of like that. The exposure to the traumatic event, to the trauma story, and like reading it over and over again, discussing it over and over again, helps to deal with it.
So you brought together the available evidence for the benefits of this in terms of the research that's been done globally. What did you find?
We found CBT with a trauma focus is superior to active and passive control conditions for treating post-traumatic stress symptoms and also depression and anxiety.
When you say control situations, what's that? What's it compared to?
We had a variety of comparisons. So some studies just compared it to a weightless condition. That means the young person waited for maybe 3 months before they received treatment. That's like the weakest control condition you can have. But then we had other trials that compared CBT with a trauma focus against meditation, for example, or counseling, and treatment as usual.
And what did benefits actually mean? I mean, what were the outcomes?
The young person that received CBT with a trauma focus had lower PTSD symptoms, for example, after treatment.
So in other words, their distress as a result of the trauma was lower, or their depression was relieved to some extent.
Yes.
How long did the benefits last? Because for some forms of cognitive behavioral therapy, you need top-ups.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question. So for our study, we can conclude for a year. The benefits lasted for a year. We didn't look further. Long-term follow-ups is very scarce.
One of the issues with cognitive behavioral therapy is that the randomized trials show that it works really well, but as long as the therapist, the psychologist, sticks to the protocol, in other words, follows the rules. Mm-hmm. But in the real world, they've found that psychologists, in fact, it's paradoxical, the longer the psychologist has been in practice, the more they depart from the protocol for CBT. And therefore, in theory, the less effective they are. Did you look at adherence to protocol?
No, we didn't. I think it's always a balance, right? So you have the protocol and you know that it's working, but then you have the client in front of you. And then every client, every patient is different. So of course you have to adapt your treatment to this patient. So it's always a balance to sticking to the protocol, but of course treating the patient the way he needs.
Trauma in various forms is actually quite common. It's not a one-to-one relationship, as we told right at the beginning, between trauma and a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. But if somebody's listening who's experienced trauma and is struggling psychologically, what are the sort of questions they should ask their general practitioner about who they should be referred to?
Yeah, so I think it's really good to reach out to your GP. I think that's the first, like, or the second thing you might want to do. So first, talk to someone you trust, and to your parents, your teacher. But then I think the GP is the right place to go because he can arrange mental health support and can make a mental health plan and so on. So I think that's the person to go to. And then talk about like what you've experienced and how you're feeling and what your difficulties are in life. And then the GP has a good picture to arrange mental health support.
So the GP will have a choice of psychologists that he or she could refer to, but they need to be looking for somebody who is a psychologist who has been trained in CBT with a trauma focus.
Yes, to take the best treatment possible, yes.
So awesome. Is there a place that people can go for more information?
Yeah, so at phoenixaustralia.org, which a lot of useful resources.
Anca, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Dr. Anca Dahan, a postdoctoral research fellow in clinical child and adolescent psychology at Ruhr University in Bochum in Germany.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.